Star Market. Celtics tonight continues from the Garden. Celtics and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Celtics looking for their 10th straight win at home. Our conversation with the head coach brought to you by Star Market's Just For You digital app. Earn rewards and save on your groceries and gas. Download the Star Market mobile app or visit starmarket.com. The coach coming off his regular weekly appearance on our flagship station, 98.5, the Sports Hub today, in which you became the Inquisitor. I thought that was a brilliant turn of the tables. And how long had you been waiting to do that to Zoe?
I hadn't really been waiting to do it. I just decided we were going to do it. Or I was going to ask if I could do it. It's not really my show or my I had to get permission.
Your question, if for those who did not hear it, was
a good question.
It was a great question. I'm giving you full credit
Thank
for
you.
Asking a great question. But people may not necessarily people who are listening right now, had the radio on during the day or downloaded the podcast, who don't know that what you asked him was, where did that game rank of all of these Patriots games in this era? And his answer was second to the Atlanta Super Bowl. Which I thought it was an interesting question from you because you tend not to think of games that way, particularly at least the ones that you are coaching in when they reach that sort of status. That obviously it's a lot easier, I would imagine, to appreciate the historical feel of a game when you were watching it as opposed to when you were in it.
I think that that's right. And, you know, obviously he's doing it through the lens mostly of the media and calling the game and when you're in the middle of it and you know, in the coach's shoes or in the player's shoes, I don't know if their answers would be the same. But I would guess it's a little bit different lens to call it. But I think ultimately from where I sat, I wasn't watching it as a coach. I was watching it as just a fan. And from where I sat as a fan, it was an incredible, incredible game.
On Monday obviously. Night here, at every level, we literally could do our entire time on that specific game and Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes and all of that. It was phenomenal to watch. Monday night, the starters, you had to put them back in, which obviously I assume was not your plan or your hope late in that game. What was interesting to me was the fact that you had to put them back in may have been a negative, but Max and I were talking how that can be very difficult sometimes mentally for that group when it feels instinctively as if their night is over, and then they are called on to have to play and play well, and there was no drop-off whatsoever.
No, they were really good. And, you know, when we came back into the huddle and it was 5 at 4.5 minutes, you know, our talking point was, let's just change our lens. We're up 5, 4.5 minutes to go in a game. Now let's go do what we need to do to win the game, and that is let's get score, stop, score. And we went down. Kyrie made a beautiful move on the right wing. Then we forced a turnover, and then he made another layup, and, you know, then the game is 9, and you feel a little bit better about it. You have to be able to stay in the moment. You know, I've always thought that as hard as this is, you know, as a player, your responsibility is to be ready when called upon. And even if we keep a 20-point lead, we may need you to go back in. You know, we may need you to go back in because somebody else can't play for whatever reason, fouls out, gets hurt, and everybody's just got to kind of stay ready and all the way through the final horn.
The Kyrie steals got a lot of attention. There are different kinds of steals. I always thought it was, you know, long before we had defensive rating. You know, there were steals and blocks, two quote-unquote defensive statistics that you could almost have to be out of position to come up with them in the first place. So I always thought they were very misleading. But specifically within the context, and Coach Bolster talked about this quite a bit after the game, those were strategic and defensively truly impressive moments for Kyrie.
They were really good, and he had a couple where he had a little bit of a gambler in him and left his guy to go and reach and saw the opportunity there. And, you know, a lot of times with guys that are really intelligent on the basketball court, that pays off. Sometimes that'll burn you, and a guy will get a back cut layup that won't be contested because of that. But the rest of them, he was in perfect position. That's a really good thing. And, you know, he had a couple of games there in a row, four games there in a row that were awfully good. And now it's our turn tonight to pick up for him and have other guys do what he's been doing.
Is there such a thing as a green light for a guy like that in a situation like you were just describing with, obviously, all steals, most steals involve some kind of gamble at some level. Are there certain players that you trust them? Is there a discussion or is it just, you know, go?
We always say that's the hardest thing to watch in film because if you get it, it's an incredible play,
right.
And if you don't, it's a futile attempt. So, you know, the deal is, no, you're going to get it. And I think that that's there's a fine line there. It's usually a matter of inches. But I think that one of the things is you'd never want to take the instinct away of a really smart basketball player. And so picking your spots is important in that regard. But he's picked his spots well in a lot of those cases. And, you know, the few times that it burns you, you just, you know, you got to get it back some other way. And you also have to realize that you probably aren't going to try it the next time until, you know, maybe the next game.
People see rest, Al, you know, parentheses rest. It doesn't always, I don't want to say sit well, but they don't really read it or understand what it's about. What goes into a decision like that when it comes to Al? And there was a very similar situation in December last year when you had played a bunch of games very early in the season, and it was almost strategic in the middle of a week where there was a gap between games, and then he came back and went on a tear after that.
We found these gaps to be extremely beneficial for Al. So, for instance, if we would have played him on Friday, sat him in Atlanta, and played him on Monday, it wouldn't have been that big of a gap.
Right.
Even similar, if we would have played him Saturday, sat him Monday, played him Wednesday, not quite as big of a gap. So we do look for those in the schedule, and that's just one of the things with him that we think has been beneficial over the course of time. It does obviously also depend on how he's feeling, and he's feeling great. And he's looked great, and I think his work on his knee and making sure his knee was great, and then our training staff's decision to ramp up his minutes slowly over the last 16 games has worked out well. And that's a positive, and, you know, we hope to keep it that way.
Interesting that you're down two starters tonight in that you saw this team twice in the preseason. Preseason is preseason, but in those games where you were not at the full complement of your roster,
they smoked us.
Their guards really got going, and those were not close games.
They were not close games. If you let their guards get going, you're in trouble. I mean, that's the bottom line. And that's every night in this league, but these guys especially look to score. Sexton, Clarkson, and Hood all are really good off pick and roll, getting their own, can play off handoffs, can play off down screens. Burke's the same way. And then they're unique right now because they're down bigs.
Yep.
And so one of the challenges with guarding this team will be Channing Frye in the second unit. And so I think that those are all things that you have to be alert to, you have to be ready for. And, you know, we've talked a lot about it in the last 24 hours. Film yesterday, film again today. Being able to impact the ball is number one on the list tonight.
What is the biggest challenge that Larry Drew is dealing with your first year? There were two stretches in that season, right around the first of the year and then late, where you lost 16 of 18 and then 14 of 15. You can probably remember all of those games because that's how you are, especially with losses. I mean, it seems on the surface, what was the biggest challenge when you're in a stretch like that in the middle of a season?
Biggest challenge of that whole year, and I don't see this as much with them because they've got a lot of young players and a lot of guys, you know, obviously they just drafted Sexton. They traded for Hood. They traded for Clarkson. I mean, Zizic is a young player. You kind of go down the list. You got a lot of guys that'll probably be there for some time. So they're building something with those guys that are there. We didn't have as many young players at the time. It was more of a – we had a couple that were on their rookie deals. But the hardest part is creating a sense of purpose, especially when you're making as many moves and trades as we did. And then really, really being able to move on to the next game with a fresh mindset, you know, and I think that that's the hardest part. Now, it goes both ways. You get to the point where you're like, you're desperate and hungry and like, no, nothing's going to stop you from getting what you want. And, you know, that team, I give that team a lot of credit because, you know, we won two of our last four, I think it was that year, and you know, never lost 10 in a row. And I, you know, I had been in years where, and multiple years in a row where we never lost two in a row at Butler, and those were real challenges, and it's really hard, but there's good players on every team in this league, and Cleveland's no exception, and when they go to their level, you're not going to win. You have to make sure that you do everything you can to keep them from getting to their best level.
That's the challenge tonight. Celtics and Cavs next on the 98.5 The Sports Hub Celtics Radio Network.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.